Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahabiryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavahitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 39. Human beings are divided according to their nature into the following divisions: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Shankara, and Antyaja. Even though the system of Varnashram is not clearly present in some countries, still it exists in a seedling form. According to one's nature, he develops his occupation and accordingly his means of livelihood. By accepting the livelihood and occupation of others, one meets with misfortune. What to speak of misfortune, it especially obstructs one's devotional service. Birth is not the only criteria. The only criteria is one's nature. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35, it is stated, if one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, as described above, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those systems of classification. In his commentary, Sridhar Swami has written, the Brahmana's main characteristics are qualities such as peacefulness, not birth. These main characteristics are seen in persons other than those born as Brahmins. Then such persons should be considered Brahmanas. They should not be considered according to their caste of birth by birth. This kind of eternal Varnashram Dharma is always to be followed. It is often useful for devotional service. Members of the four Varnas and lower class should be eager to progress their sattvic nature. If an outcast becomes fortunate due to his pious deeds, then he should progress his cultivation of goodness while following the conduct of a Shudra. Everyone should give prominence to devotional service and progress the cultivation of goodness to the platform of Nirguna, transcendence, by the mercy of the devotees. These are the stages of Sanatana Dharma. With devotion, the member of any Varna is considered the best of the Brahmanas. Without devotion, the life of a Brahmana fixed in goodness is useless. So, here it's very important to understand the principle that's being made is that what's connected to devotional service, that becomes important. Right? Then it's proper. Then it becomes situated nicely. Otherwise, if we catch the external words here, then depending upon what we want to establish or what we, you know, is important to us, then we will, you know, use these verses to establish some variety of external form. So here the point is that there's particular duties and there's qualities that go with those duties. So if one has those, then one should be situated as such. And however one is situated, then to engage that in the Lord's service, you know, that is what you're trying to do. So the point is something that is not your engagement to do, it'll be hard to engage, right? Does that make sense? So one always situates oneself occupationally according to whatever is one's nature. And then from that platform, connect it to the Lord, right? Then it becomes perfect. Yes.
So, how this concept of birth as a criteria was?
How does birth as a criteria come up?
Yes.
Well, one is there's always the bodily consciousness. So then, you know, by the birth, then you're going to consider, yes, we're this and all that. But the other thing is especially for the higher castes, then, if they don't have the qualification, they don't want to be identified as something lower. right? So then they're going to say, no, it's by birth. So, you know, because it's a Brahmin family, the child's born in that family, so he's automatically a Brahmin, even though he doesn't manifest the qualifications. And to also keep that exclusive, then somebody from a Shudra family may be born in that family, but they manifest the qualification and qualities of someone of Brahminical nature. They say, no, no, it's by birth, because he has to stay there and we have to stay here, because otherwise our kids go there and their kids come here. So they're trying to avoid that. So it's mundane. See, for devotional, but the point is that Varnashram is meant for devotional service. So it doesn't matter what varna or ashram one is. That's the point. The point is what matters is that you act according to your nature and connect that to the Lord. So it doesn't matter what one it is. So that's why I use these are the stages of Sanatana Dharma. Right? It means you act in your position, cultivate, you know, devotional service, cultivate the mode of goodness. And like that, one will gradually progress up through the process of devotional service. It's not that you progress through the stages of Varnashram. No, because he said here is that everyone, let me see, members of the four Varnas. Okay, with devotion, says here, with devotion, the members of any Varna is considered the best of the Brahmanas, right? But the point is Brahmanas is identified most by the qualities found in ashram. Right? All the qualities the Brahman have are qualities of ashram. Their duties are duties of ashram. You understand? So on the platform is personal development, he's the best of Brahmanas. But as far as his actual occupation goes that he makes his money with, that he'll do according to whatever his nature is. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. That won't change. Right? So he may be a carpenter, but his qualification is that of a Brahmin. So therefore he can worship the Lord, he can lecture on Krishna consciousness, he can do all these different things. But, you know, when he goes out and goes to work to make his money, he goes as a carpenter. Does that make sense? So varna won't change. Ashram, it means, in other words, ashram means Brahminical. There is no Kshatriya ashram, Vaishya ashram, Shudra ashram. There isn't. There's only Brahminical. Right? There's Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya according to occupation. But ashram, there isn't classification like that. In other words, the Brahmin will follow all the nice things of the ashram nicely. All right, without attachment, you know, with all these nice qualities. The Kshatriya, then there'll be some elements of the passion and all that. You know, so, you know, on certain levels it's just as good, maybe it's regulated and that, but on other levels there may be some attachments or other things that the Brahmin won't have. Vaishya will be more attachment or less regularity, Shudra even more. So that's why one would think, oh, there's Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Ashram. No, it's one ashram. It's just how well you're situated. So the devotee, because he knows he's doing it to please the Lord, therefore he is the best of Brahmins. But it doesn't change his occupation. Right? That's why it's varna and ashram. It's two different things. Okay? The one is how you live your life. Right, the spiritual, and the other is your occupation, how you get your facility for living your life. Right, so he lives a Brahminical lifestyle, but he gets his money by being a carpenter. Is that what he says?
And I have seen in life that usually we do what the family was doing. The birth is
Generally speaking, most of the time, why you could even pull off the philosophy, have a philosophy of caste by birth, is generally speaking, the children are like the parents.
Yes.
Because the consciousness of the parents creates the child, so their consciousness being of that nature attracts a soul of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the time it works like that. You don't have to worry about it. But if it's not like that, the consciousness is different, then they should be accepted according to what actual is their nature.
Yes.
Does that make sense? That's the point. So that's the difference in the actual Vedic system and your so-called Vedic system. You know. Yes.
Maharaj, when it says here antyaja, does it refer to the outcasts in the outcasts? And another question.
Well, let's say, okay, Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, that we understand. So Shankara would mean like, you know, Supacha, Chandala, Nishada, you know, straightforward. Then when those are mixed again, then you get the antyaja. So antyaja, you know, you can read, you know, Germanic, Anglo-Saxons, Gauls, you know, how you say, Arabs, you know, like that. That's how you can read that.
And another question.
Does that make sense? In other words, mixes of mixes. Shankara means it's a straight mix. Right? So, you know, they're a Nishada, they act like a Nishada. Right? You know, the Chandala, they act like a Chandala. And so if a Nishada marries a Nishada, you get a Nishada. And so then it keeps like that. But then, if, you know, if a Nishada marries a Chandala, then you get an Antyaja. Does that make sense? In other words, they're so crazy, the Shankaras don't want that. Does that make sense?
And those scientists, the archaeologists, what they're looking at, this Homo habilis, erectus, and all those...
They're looking at...
Is it from the previous ages, those kind of beings, like antyajas?
It just means that those would be people who lived out in the forest, that's all. But because they're saying, oh, see, they're so short here and everything like that, so it's very far. Like that, pygmies are still short. You know what I'm saying? They somehow know that they haven't grown anything. You know, they've been around as long as everybody else. Why didn't they get bigger? You know? Does that make sense? You know, you go to Sweden, nobody's short. You know, so it's like, you know, nice theories, but, you know, it sounds good. You know, but according to that, if they keep going back, as keep going back farther and farther, they're going to start finding skeletons that are about 18 inches tall, you know, like that. You know. You know. Does that make sense? So the point is there, I mean, in other words, in your generally speaking, in your cults, your civilizations, you know, Vedic civilization and anything that's an immediate derivative of that, what do they do with their dead? They burn them. So you're not going to find them. Do you know what I'm saying? So what are they finding? Someone who is just a tribal that lives out in the forest, or is someone who, you know, went and retired into the forest. You know what I'm saying? So they're either fighting tribals or vanaprastas and sannyasis or someone who just happened to be in the forest at the wrong time. You know? Does that make sense? That's why they find all these different varieties, you know? Because they also find what would be classified as modern man as far back as they find anything else. They just don't want to recognize it. But they find, you know, everything is there. Because the thing is just like now, you have all these different grades of living entities that they will say are coming in a hierarchy. But if it was a natural thing, why is it only some groups of supposedly moving forward and others haven't? Right? And when you go back in history, all these, they're all there. You know what I'm saying? You know what? When Adam and Eve, you know, came on the scene, who did Adam and Eve marry their children to?
They married the sons with the daughter. I don't know.
No, they weren't Egyptians. That's later. That's with Moses, right? They married local village girls. It's right there. Look in the Bible. It's right there. They married local. So the point is this. There's always been this variety. There always has been. You know, it's not that it's an evolution. No, it's an evolution in consciousness, not an evolution. As the soul evolved, he goes through these different... But they've always been there. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Manu is mentioning, and that's not, that didn't happen a few... They're talking millions of years ago. They're already talking like Kasha. Right? Kashas are fallen Kshatriyas. Kasha means one who doesn't grow hair on the face. Right? So that's all your Orientals and original North and South Americans. You know, all of what we call Indian. You know, the like that. They're cautious. They've always been there. You know, like when he's mentioning all these all at one time. The Dravidians, they've always been there. You know, the Andrans, the Sabras, they've always been there. So it's not that, you know, there was this and then they evolved. No, it's just, it's always there. Does that make sense? There's no change. Does that make sense? So the point here is that it doesn't matter where you find yourself. Take that, connect it to the Lord. That's the point, because it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? You know, Prahlad's 5 years old. It doesn't matter. He can still surrender to the Lord. Right? Ajamil is a little older. Right? He can still surrender to the Lord. Right? Right. So he was 88 when Narayan was born. Right? So you're probably not going to call him until you're sure that by calling him he could walk there. You know, and recognize his name. So he'd at least be 2, if not probably 3 years old. So that puts him 90, 91. Right? So then he surrendered at that time. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to do this question. I'm so disappointed. Right? 90-year-old, you know, real sinful geezer, right? Like, no, they can't even take him away. Okay, so therefore, it's not a matter of why would one take another occupation. If it's an emergency, then that's not the complaint, because we're talking about consistency. So then it's generally for prestige, or you're thinking you'll get more from that. One shouldn't do that. Because one might get some prestige, but then because it's not your work, that'll be lost. You might get some more money, but because it's not your occupation, you won't know how to deal. It will be lost. So better stick to your own occupation. Do that nicely. And then whatever comes, that's how you live. Yes?
Going back to the example you gave in the morning about the devotee who has a medical explanation, but he was working a short type of work. Would that be an emergency because he didn't find anything else?
Probably. You ever try go doing puja or yajna at a devotee's house? How much they'll give you? Yeah. Oh, you're doing it for Krishna, you know, why do we have to pay him? Yeah, so like that. So, therefore, he goes outside and gets himself a job.
But it could be also because of...
It could be because of mixed, yeah. But the point is, it wasn't that it was a specific area. I think it's just a job. It wasn't like he had to, you know, be in this particular, like that. That would generally be more, you know, if there's a calling, you know, so... Is that what I'm saying? But it just shows that the community is mixed. You know, and Prabhupada specifically said mixes of mixes. So that's why when we question about the antija, that basically means us. Like that. So even in that case, Shankara is a step up for us. You know, the other day we were saying Shudras are... No, Shankara is a step up for us.
Nowadays, you can see that devotees find it difficult to categorize themselves because of prestige.
Okay. Yeah, prestige. Otherwise, it's pretty straightforward. Means it's like this. Can you create economics from education, law, medicine, like that, deity worship, or from administration, or from business, you know, economics? If you can, that places you in the first 3. If you can't do that, that automatically places you in the 4th category. And if you don't accept that, it places you in the 5th category. Right? And if you oppose that, that puts you into the 6th one. Right? So it's pretty straightforward how to figure out where one is. Just like, how long does it take to figure out what ashram you're in? Right? It's just as simple. The varnas are just as easy. Because the devotees will go, okay, he's not married, and he's not at least immediately planning, he's not making plans to get married. Then he's called the brahmachari, right? You know, he wants to get married, he is married, he's grihastha, right? Like that. He's, you know, matured from that and retired. Then that's called vanaprastha. And then sannyas is obvious. So generally the only one that's not quite sure about are vanaprasthas and bachelors, right? You know, like that. Because generally speaking, in the West, there is no... It means in theory, you retire from your occupation, but you don't retire from your family life. Like that, you know. Otherwise, if they did, then the pharmaceutical industry wouldn't be making so much money. Right? Like that. So then... Yeah. Does that make sense? So those are unclear. Now, the problem is we know the Brahmins are the highest, so that has a certain prestige, so we don't want to technically be anything less. But they don't have the control. So therefore, the Kshatriya looks okay, but they're still not the highest. But then the guys actually have the money or the Vaishyas. But no one's the Shudra. Like, you know, say, oh, that guy, he's like a business Arabist and that. The devotees will be okay with it. But if you say someone's a shooter, oh, it's like that, you know, if you can't say that, you know, like, ooh, I said the S word. You know, it's like that. That makes sense. So it's a difficulty because of that, they can't situate themselves nicely. And because of that, then they get too distracted. And so there's dissatisfaction in their material life, and that has an effect on their spiritual life. Because they think that in the material life you actually can be happy. So they make a further endeavor to be happy. In other words, the lack of being happy through material endeavor, one is coming because you can't actually be happy through material endeavor. But two is they're not actually getting the facilities they're looking for from the material endeavor. So then the illusion is if I work harder within the material environment, then I'll get more facility, then I'll be happier. But they don't have any more facility now that they're working more and doing less devotional endeavor than when they were before. You know what I'm saying? But because Maya, you know, the two potencies, the covering and throwing, they first cover, so they don't actually see. They think, yes, I can get more. And even though they don't have more, because that's their cover, they don't see it. And then they throw them, so they're miserable, but there's the idea that, no, I can be happy, so they have hope. Like that. So that's how Maya rolls. That's the way it works. So it's sad, because the point is it doesn't matter. It matters is what you do. Because the point is it, let us say you have a problem with your plumbing, right? Okay? And then you're saying, we should call a plumber, right? And then, you know, there's some other enlightened devotees in the house. No, how can you call a plumber and like that? And why say, hey, plumber, you know, we're not this body. Everybody can do anything like that. So why you have to have a, you know, someone that you designate as a plumber? Anybody could do the plumbing job. It sounds great like that. But in reality, is it going to work? No. So it doesn't matter that we say, oh, we're in that body. It doesn't matter. We can do anything. It still doesn't get the job done. You know what I'm saying? In other words, someone who's in a ministry, they administrate. They should do that. They should do these things. If that was there, then it would be very clear. Problem is you have those, lack of security, those that want to administrate or be in authorities in that area, but they don't have any qualifications. So what gets done? Nothing. Right? Does that make sense? So businessmen can't make money, so there's no facility. You know what I'm saying? Because if they were Kshatriyas, they would know how to encourage businessmen. You know, they have to make a tax, but they know that if you take too much, you're not going to... Does that make sense? You know, that's the point. Yes.
Businessmen and cow protection.
Do they
work together, or is that just banner?
No, it's all Vaishya. The point is just what medium they work with. So if you're in a rural environment, then cows and land go together.
They seem to be different natures.
It's just one's more for the city. City towns, and you have business, you know, and then the village, because village has no need of business. You know, of course, you have the products from there and you sell them, so it is business, but that's not where the focal point is. Right? In other words, here it's that the other one is that you're going to get your capital and then buy your goods and then sell your goods. In the rural environment, you have your capital. And you're going to create your goods. You're going to grow them.
Working with cows often brings a lot of goodness, and working in business is not a passion. But
yes, that's there. But it means, in other words, of all the occupations, then you would say cow protection would be the best for a Vaishya. But the point is, you have to have facility for that. Just like how many Vaishyas are here, how many are involved in the cows? Right? There's not one. You know what I'm saying? No, but they're all doing business. So they can relate to that. Because the point is you have to be able to see that you can make profit from it. Right? But protecting a cow for the love of cows, that's ashram. You understand? But cows that make money, that's the business. But the point is because you're dealing with living entities, therefore that affection and respect that's there from the ashram is therefore applied. Does that make sense? So they deal nicer, the cows are gentle, because the cows are happy, they get more milk. But that's not the reason it's being done, but it works out that way. But you always have to see there's two different aspects. Okay? Yeah. But it is recommended if a Brahmin or Kshatriya has to take up a Vaishya duty, he does business, not cows and land. Because that's specifically for Vaishyas. You know what I'm saying? Like that. When cows were created, the Vaishyas are created along with them to take care of them. Does that make sense? You know, just like when the populace is created, Kshatriyas are protected. And when the scriptures are created, then the Brahmins are created. I mean, manifest, and the Brahmins are created. Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah. And with the Ankhijas, Ronald McDonald. Yeah, so. It might not have meant anything. So. it was an American joke. So. Yeah. Okay, so here is making up. So we can see here is this concept of Sanatan Dharma and Varnashram Dharma, because it says here this kind of eternal Varnashram Dharma. Then we just go, yeah, it's Varnashram Dharma. But when we say Sanatan Dharma, then we'll say, oh no, that's something else. But eternal and Sanatan are the same thing. But instead of saying Sanatan Varnashram Dharma, you just say Sanatan Dharma. Right? Because Dharma means the inherent nature. You can't change it. So on the eternal platform, you don't have any problem with your position, so you work according to your nature. So therefore we could say Sanatan Dharma, eternal nature, which is to serve the Lord. But you're applying that within the material sphere means the conditioned nature, whatever that is, you could connect that to the Lord. Yes.
Bhagavad Dharma also?
Bhagavad Dharma is the same, because what is what makes it Sanatan? It's connected to Krishna, so therefore you could call it Bhagavad Dharma. So Bhagavad Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, Varnashram Dharma, they're all the same thing. According to our perspective, there are those who see Varnashram Dharma separate from the Lord. We're not talking about that, you know? Because then it says, no, but it's this, that, or, you know, it's the same. So is cooking, or managing, driving, right? You know, a truckie drives for a living. You know, so he's driving. It's not that now he's a karma. Yes, they use another word because we're using the word. You know, didn't you see driving with a little C with a little circle around it up in the corner? Right. You know, so we have the copyright on driving, the word, not on driving itself. Right? That I don't think. I met two devotees I felt could drive. Right. Yeah. No, it's just like this. Mukti, when we say mukti, is the disconnected form of mukti actually mukti? No, because it's temporary. So the point is it's only sanatan because it's connected. Does that make sense?
If one is then one of these antyajas, then that can't be changed. It can only be purified.
Yes, it can only be purified. The point is, but because the Brahminical standard is there in ashram, you know, because of the devotional service, that means on the platform of devotional service, that's where you'll see the dynamic change. So become more and more attached to Krishna, less and less attached to the material energy. But whatever in the contemporary environment that Antyajaja does for work, which is quite a lot of jobs. Before, Antyajas didn't have a lot of work they could do. Now it's like, you know, you have tons of occupations. So you don't have to change that. Does that make sense?
So there's that mixture of activities that you do, they will be done better, more nicely, and with better consciousness?
Yes, better consciousness. In other words, you just do it more nicely, that's all. No, we were saying about how there's the four varnas, and though women fit within those varnas, they're also their own categories. Right? Because, how you say? Because it's an, means, in other words, when we're talking that, men, for men, the faculties of intelligence, emotions, and senses are separate faculties. Right? You can move back and forth between them quickly, but they're different faculties, right? For women, they're not. They're one faculty. You know what I'm saying? The more intellectual side of relationships or emotions, the more sensual side, the more emotional side, it's one thing. Right? So that will place them. So when you're saying Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, for men, it will place them in those categories as separate. But women, though they may have those elements like that, there's not a difference between that and ashram. You know what I'm saying? It's one identity. So therefore, then, how you say? The approach to it puts them in another category, because all women will have the same kind of fundamental need and the way of dealing and everything like that. Does that make sense? Men will be like that, but that's only within ashram. Does that make sense? Varna is a separate consideration. You know what I'm saying? In other words, a woman, she has an occupation, but basically if she's going to be steady in it, she has to like it. She has to be comfortable in that occupation. Otherwise, she's not going to continue with it. But a man, he can hate his work and do it for his whole life. Because he sees that this is what I have to do to get my money. But then my life is separate from that. But a woman, the occupation is not separate from her life. It's an extension of the life. Does that make sense? You know, that's so it's different. Therefore, women are in their own category, that there's certain things to consider in women dealing with themselves and others dealing with women. Does that make sense? So that's why then it's explained
you know, in its own category. It doesn't make it a fifth varna, it just makes it their own category. But by nature, they'll be in Brahmacharya Vaishya Shudra. Does that make sense? Hmm?
Would it mean that women shouldn't perform much of the occupational duties because it would be not their duties, not their prescribed duties, so they won't get any benefit, and that's what we see with the whole movement of...
Yeah, you don't get any benefit. Because the problem is let's say... means the man, there's the element of ownership, but the ownership is just the element of control to actually accomplish the work. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's my pen because, you know, if it's mine, I control it so I can do writing, because writing is what's important. Right? But for the woman, the writing is something you can do with the pen. Owning the pen is what's important. You understand? So that's the problem, is when you go into the Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya thing, is that let's say the woman works with the deities. Whose deities are they? They're hers. Yes. Then it's how what she feels like is right. And if somebody says, you know, they think maybe you should dress like this or that, it's what's your business telling me? They're my deities. Mm-hmm. So there's no room for improvement in occupation. You know what I'm saying? But if it's in the house and she has deities, then she worships them, and someone wants to say something, they can say whatever they want. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, they're her deity. She's going to do what she likes. You know, then it works fine. You know? Does that make sense? Or administration, then it's hers. Like that, you know? And I mean, if you think about it, if we think historically of, you know, outstanding women, you know, executives of state. There's only a couple come to mind, you know, like that. In England, you got what, three?
Thatcher, you know. Thatcher, Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, well, that's only one in. I'm talking about it as queens. Then, you know, the two Elizabeths and Victoria, like that. You know, Victoria is more known for the cultural rather than administrative. You know. That the two Elizabeths are known for their administrative ability. But Thatcher, she's a prime minister. But that's one out of so many. You know what I'm saying? You have here and there. You know, it's not that they don't do okay, but as long as it's peacetime and everything's going nice, they have good staff, it goes well. Because generally, they'll do good housekeeping. But anytime you see the country developing, expanding and all that, it's always there's some men there. You know, it's just like all ladies can cook nicely. But your top chefs are always men. You know, I don't know of any, you know, five-star chef that's a woman. There might be one now, but you don't know of any. You know what I'm saying? So, because that's all they think about. For the woman, it's one thing in their multifarious aspects. You know, they're a good cook, or they're a good friend, they're a good mother, they dress nicely, they have the set. But the cook, he's just a cook. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So you always have that kind of thing. It's very rare. And if you do have one, they're the exception, not the rule. You know, there's one lady, I think, in NASCAR or something in a particular class, you know, she won 9 years in a row or something. But that's one lady. All the others crash in the first two or three laps. You know, it's great when you're out there on your own. Nobody else is there. Hey, you know, you're setting good time like that. But when there's, you know, 50 other cars around you, it doesn't work. You know, because it's not home. It's not safe. You're not in control. So that's the thing, is the lady needs an environment that she can control. Right? So control there means, what do you call it? Ownership, right? So it won't work. But arts, that she could do. Because there it's expression. You're trying to get what you feel into an observable form. So then they could be very good at that. Does that make sense? You know, so therefore you can have outstanding artists. But generally you see it's more in... Well, it depends. Like that. But anything based on a science, generally less. You know. But, Does that make sense? So it's just so, but it's not that you don't have the occasional they can do it. But generally, if they're doing it, they're doing it as an art. Like they can be a good manager, but it's the manager as an art, not as a science. You know what I'm saying? The lady is a good cook, but it's just an art, not as a science. Does that make sense? You know, because if you take cooking and okay, let's say you're cooking a vegetable, okay? Now, basically speaking, you can, no matter what the vegetable is and what kind of way you're making the vegetable, then there are six means, and some preparations may use all of these six, some will only use a few of them, depending on the prep. But the point is what they are, the stations, and where they would be applied is exactly the same. Right? Does that make sense? So you can make, you know, put ghee and make a chance in the beginning. All right? With whole spices and all that kind of thing. Then after that, then you come where you use your wet spices. They go into that same thing, they get cooked until the ghee separates. Then you have the third of that, the koshanas, where then you put in your elements that aren't spices, but create the sauce and other subtle flavors. Right? Like that. Then the fourth will be what you can put in when you boil it. Right? You know, your salt or other things like that. Then the fifth will be what's just near the end that needs to come to a boil, but doesn't, you don't want it to cook, because otherwise it'll have either it'll be affected or the preparation will be affected. Right? Does that make sense? And then the sixth is what's after the preparation is cooked and is off the fire. Does that make sense? Like that. Now, man, if he's a chef, he'll think like this. But the woman doesn't think like that, because that makes it dry and boring. That's it. You have six options. That's not enough. Right? No, it's whatever you feel like. You can do this, you can do that. We can bring this in and put some of this and that, and we'll do this and that. So it's the art that the woman will work on. That's where she's nourished. You know what I'm saying? So even the man is working in an art. If he's too artistic, he's really annoying. You know what I'm saying? You expect a man who's working in art to be a bit scientific. You know what I'm saying? And so it's okay. But still, you probably... Yeah, in other words, the man discussing the art, the science of cooking, and the woman the art of cooking probably wouldn't work. You know, they could discuss a recipe. You know, it's common ground. But does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
I had a conversation with Mother Yamuna about that. You just did the whole systematic thing, and she was coming from the total artistic point of view. I had a conversation with Mother Yamuna about cooking, and she was saying the same thing, like, what type of taste you're trying to bring into a prep, when do you put the different spices,
mm-hmm.
so they wouldn't go through the whole 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
mm-hmm.
6.
Yeah, yeah. No, because you're starting from the taste, and then you get it here, and you get that. Man just tastes, these are all the times you can put it. Now, if you want this, now in this third one, if you want this taste, use this. If you want that taste, use that. Yeah. Like that. So it works from the other side.
Yeah.
It's just like I remember once I was trying to get something across the Mridanga teacher. Right? Again, here, the thing of art and science. So I was presenting some is that we have a tune, and you know, and therefore you have the mridanga beats that go with it. So for, you know, what tune, what mridanga beats you would use.
Right.
It took years to get the point across, and finally we got something, but it wasn't, you know, developed. Then I figured out, I should have asked him, okay, there's 20 mridanga beats that he's saying are the major ones that he wanted to work with. What tunes could you sing with each one?
Mm-hmm.
I would have had the work done in a week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just have to know which side you start from.
Yeah.
In other words, it started from, you know, the art side, but he wanted to start from the math side.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that. You know, so that's why if you follow your occupation, it works really well. It's not that it can't get done. It's just that it won't come out as good. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, yes, and they go, you know, nobody listens, no one does this, no one does that. You know, we've been working with this, and so many people are trying this, and so many political things, and so the temple is a real mess, and you can't get it together. But if you bring in someone who actually knows management, they'll have it straightened out in days. You know, by 6 months, it'll be solid. Just because they know what they're doing in that field, that's all. Does that make sense? So that's why someone sticks to their own thing. And so for the woman, it's the same thing, is that she would want to be connected. She's a Brahmin. She would want to be connected to a man who's a Brahmin. Does that make sense? And so then they can relate on the occupation, because for her, the occupation extends from the ashram. So because of his occupation, he's going to follow the ashram in a particular way. Therefore, she'll be able to relate to both. Does that make sense? Same with the Kshatriya. It's not that the duties won't change. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, the Brahmin may live simply and all that. The Kshatriya, she has a palace to take care of. So you could say, let us say, okay, you know, he's saying, okay, they're not, the woman isn't a Kshatriya. It doesn't mean she's not a manager. Right? So if you have if you ever visited any of the palaces in India, right? They're a little bigger than most people's houses, right? Right? So being a little bit bigger, now, depending upon what they are, and these are ones we see now, you know, so going back, you know, what Yudhishthira lived in, I mean, I think the courtyard of the Sabha was 2 miles by 2 miles. So that means 3 kilometers by 3 kilometers. You know what it talks about? There was that lake inside, you know, like that, with a, it had real lotuses, but it also had ones made out of crystals and jewels and all that, and things that was that big in the middle that I remember. So, you know, we're not talking about small places. So, you know, we see that Draupadi, and we also, what is this? Let's see, what's his name's wife? Vasudeva, sorry, Devaki. They take 2,000 maidservants. These are personal servants. They don't go away. It's not that, you know, okay, at 5 o'clock they go home and come back the next morning at 9. They live there 24/7. You know what I'm saying? They don't have a life separate than yours. Right? Not that, right? Okay, so then, you know, now would that take management? 2,000 girls to be dressed the way you want them to be dressed. So that means they have to have the clothes and ornaments. They have to know how to put the makeup. They have to know how to wear it. And if you want to change anything, you got to change it for the whole scene. Right? You know, so it's enough trouble, you know, you go to the front gate and you want to buy something for yourself, you know, and so you can't pick out which side, you know. You got, you know, then add 2,000 onto that, right? Does that make sense? And because the way they don't make, you know, saris all the same like that, you got to pick out 2,000 different saris because there aren't any doubles, right? And then make sure that they all fit for, you know, this maidservant's a little younger, she wears like that. That one's a little older like that. This one's more in charge, she gets like this. This one's a little less, right? You know, so that's management, right? You know, to keep the house, the schedules, who does what, where. That's management. So a queen could be doing much bigger management than, you know, possibly even a, you know, a smaller king, definitely a Brahmin, and even, you know, necessarily a big Kshatriya. I mean a big Vaishya, you know, or one of these, you know, professional Shudra managers, you know. But the point is that she's managing within her home. That's the point. So people want to manage, it's there. You just have to know where to look for it. Because you can do the other thing, but will one be satisfied? That's the point. You know what I'm saying? Because to be the temple president, because then you have a secure house that you can then say, you know, that no one else will kick you out of. Because before, when you weren't the president, then you had your place, but the new president came in and he wanted that place for himself. So then, you know, you and your husband have been living there for so many years and you're senior to them anyway. And so then all these different things, and so then you got the boots, so therefore then you move to become the president. Of course, you get your husband to do the politics. And then you get in the seat. So then now the house is yours. But it's not enough to be a temple president just for that. You know, or that you want to tell others what to do because you don't want anyone telling you what to do. This isn't enough. Now, it's not enough for a man. Why should it be enough for a woman? You know what I'm saying? So then there'll be dissatisfaction. Is that okay? Okay, so the main point is that Sanatan Dharma and Varnashram Dharma is the same thing in our definition. So we're not talking about how you would apply Varnashram to the Karmis. But that doesn't mean that Varnashram isn't applied to the devotees. What is proper occupation? To know this, one should see the behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. As far as possible, I will try to briefly compile them in this essay. First, I will write about the behavior and occupation of the grihastha, as found in the character of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. As a support for his devotional service, a householder should find a suitable wife. While maintaining religious family life with one's wife, sons and daughters, or with one's wife, sons and daughters are born in the form of Krishna's servants and maidservants. To nourish them is called maintaining the family. In these activities, there is a need for piously accumulating wealth, right? In other words, now he's dealt with all these different aspects. Because it says, well, maintaining religious family life with one's wife, then there's sons and daughters. Right? It's not that, you know, how you say, the movie got a little steamy and, you know how we say, you know, there's nothing else on your mind, and then, you know, 2 months later your wife goes, plus. Right? You know, like that. So, that's not what it's talking about. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, means in other words, one is dealing properly with the family, one is interacting properly, the wife is satisfied. That's why there's children. Right? She's not satisfied, then there's no children. Right? So, and then they're Krishna's servants and maidservants. They're not yours to control and enjoy. Right? You know, so that aspect comes out. Right? To nourish them is called maintaining the family. Right? So you're maintaining the family who is devotees. The wife is the devotee. The sons and daughters are devotees. They're all servants of Krishna. So taking care of them is what you're doing. So to do that, all that, then you need, there's a need for piously accumulating wealth. It means according to your occupation. Does that make sense? So in other words, the whole thing has been connected. So it's not a matter of we're just being practical for Buddha. It's a matter of it works. Right? Does that make sense? As a support for his devotional service, one must be educated at a proper age. But he should not study atheistic literatures. Now, notice the fun part about it. It only takes one paragraph, which is basically speaking one sentence, to explain the whole grihastha scene. Right? Everything else is a detail. So that's the point. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. There's no need of all this complication. Those are details. But if one sticks to the principle, then one can find the place for the detail. But if one is taking, well, this detail is this and that detail is that and they're contradictory and how to work this out. No, it's by going to the principle. The principle is this. You're a devotee. Suitable wife means one of similar nature. You have a brahminical nature, she's brahminical. You're kshatriya, she's kshatriya. Vaishya, vaishya. Shudra, shudra, right? What do you call it? Shankara, shankara. Antyaja, antyaja, right? You know, so like that, then it works. You know what I'm saying? So that's there. Then, maintaining religious family life means, according to Shastra, you deal properly. You know, the interaction. What's the basis of interaction? Right? So there's culture. Right? As I mentioned before, since the art is the main field of the woman, that means culture is the prominent element, not philosophy. Yeah. Right? So that means he's following the culture with his wife. So she's comfortable, therefore there's a nice environment. Then it expands to sons and daughters. Does that make sense? Like that. In the form of servants and maidservants. Right? So if someone is Krishna's, you take care of them because they're Krishna's, not because they're yours. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? So they're being maintained so they can do service, and you get your money in the proper way so you can do that. Very simple. Everything else is detailed. Right? But if you don't have the principle, then it's very hard to have grihastha life. Right? If this is not your core, then there's every chance it's Griyamedi. Because the house is the center, and so then what part of the house is the center? Then how do you define? What's the most important part of the house? Because we say Grihamedi. So Griha is the center. So then what's the prominent? Is it the husband? Is it the wife? Is it the children? Is it the house? Is it your prestige? Is it your money? You know, and their money is there for your occupation. What's the prominent thing? Right? Because the man thinks it's him, the woman thinks it's her, the kids definitely know it's them. Right? You know, especially if they're teenagers. It's 100%. You know, there's no question. You know, like that. Then it's like that. The man trying to get money, he's out on his occupation. The family wonder where the father is. But he's, you know, I'm doing this for the family. You know what I'm saying? Like this. So it's all, each of, so what's the center? There isn't one. So that's why it's not grihastha. Grihastha means there's one center, there's Krishna. Then everything else falls in line with that. Then from that, from this principle, you can have unlimited detail. Okay, one must be educated at a proper age, but he should not study atheistic literatures, right? If you're not educated at a proper age, you kind of miss the window, right? Because when you're young, you're not thinking about, you know, especially for the boys. When does a boy think about a house, having a house?
30.
Right? 30. And only because of? Huh? Because of a lady, right? Yeah, I mean, it should be wise, so I appreciate the pious answers here. You know? But he doesn't start thinking about it until he gets serious about association with women. Okay, now, just to give a contrast, since what age is the woman thinking about house?
4.
Yeah, you know, from when you can communicate. Because before that, you couldn't talk about houses. That's why the first things is, what you play is house, right? You know, like that. Like that. So that's the point, is that there's a time for it. So when the man is thinking about the house, it's too late to be educated. Because to get the house, you have to do the job to make the money to get the house. Right? So whatever education he required, you know, the time's passed. You know, just like when it's time to walk, that's when they'll learn. There's been some studies, something happened that a kid... I forget what it was, some accident or something, so they couldn't walk at the normal walking age. So it was a long time before then they could actually walk, but the time had passed, so they didn't even think about walking. So they're like, whatever it is, 2 years old, and they can't walk, and the idea of getting up and walking just didn't cross their mind. So there's a window, that's what I'm saying. It says the proper age. Like anything you want memorized, do it before you're 12. Right. After that, then if you have a good memory, great. If you don't, then, you know, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Just a detail about walking. The Japanese have a concept that if they can get the kid to not walk until later, then the brain will develop more intelligently. So they bind the feet and tie rocks around the neck to stop the kid from getting up and trying to walk.
Does it work? I mean, does it work? Yeah, so they have good brain. Big, yeah. But in other words, they develop big neurotic brains.
Yeah.
That's why we said is that in Japan, it's against the culture to ask them how they are. You can talk weather, small talk, but you cannot ask them how you are personally. It's just because, you know, they'll just have a meltdown. They can't handle it. Like that. So it's not ideal. Like that. So it works in a specific thing. You know, but everybody has their, you know, it's just like, what is it, you know, certain, like Native Americans, and you stick the kid and you put these boards on their head, and so it makes it a certain shape, you know. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do, but, you know, it's not necessarily important.
Square melon, like the square melon.
Square melons, yeah, yeah. Put them in a box, yeah.
Rings on the neck, isn't it?
Yeah, rings on the neck.
And
Japanese, they do it with their feet.
Mm-hmm. Still, that was before.
I think so. It was before.
Yeah.
And then teach them how to walk.
Well, the idea is you walk like the models walk. You put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, but that's a big.
Huh?
That's a big, pretty small.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then you do the small one. More cute. Like that. The whole idea brings out that feminine effect, but you can also get that just by cultivating the feminine nature. You don't have to
break your foot.
Be so, yeah, you don't have to be so external to get the same effect.
From chanting, if they chant Hare Krishna, then they purify the feminine nature.
Yeah, but it's also, but there has this protection. Protection creates women.
Yeah.
femininity is culture through protection. You create the environment, then, because women know how to be women, it's whether you have the facility for it. Just like a businessman knows how to do business, but whether he has the capital and the situation. You know, but you create it, the king creates a safe environment where you can do business and not, you know, thieves won't steal everything, then you'll do it and prosper. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same point. You create the safe environment and the women will become women. The point is women don't become, develop the feminine nature when they're in an environment they're not protected. Does that make sense? So it's not a matter of the background's rough or this or that. A lot of times, oh, the poor people, they can't, and this and that. Because you go into this, like, say, you have a poor Hispanic neighborhood, is that the girls are girls. Because, you know, that may be a rough environment, but no one messes with their girls. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You know, they'll shoot each other, they sell drugs and that, but you don't touch their sister. You know, it just doesn't happen. So the girls grow up as girls. You know, tough girls, but girls. You understand? So that's the idea, is that... Yeah, so if you just create the right environment, then whatever is the appropriate thing at the time, then that can prosper. So education also has a proper age, which means younger. Right? In other words, we describe Grihastha. So before Grihastha, that's the time for education. Does that make sense?
And like Mahurta is best time for spiritual cultivation.
Yeah, Brahma Mahurta is there, but any time, all time is, it's all Krishna. But that's for that you won't be as distracted by material things, so that's why it's better. Mm. But otherwise, all the time it's better. Mm. Right? So education, according to Kalidas, then basically between the boy's attachment to his mother and his attachment to his wife, in between that, that's when is the time for education. Does that make sense? That's how it works.
So much. We are between you.
Huh? Yes, so you are between. Yeah, it means with the family. Then you come here. Then you're not with the family. And when you go back, so between leaving the house and going back to the house, that's the time for education. Serving guests is the principal duty of a grihastha. This is the Lord's instruction, right? So he should have been educated, but this is put in so that he understands for his children. Because they're servants and maidservants, so they'll get educated. Otherwise, you think they're mine, so I'll do whatever I want, whenever I want. A grihastha should act with simplicity. Oh, okay, he's going on. So, taking care of guests, because the whole idea is that the element of sacrifice, of doing something for others' benefit and others' satisfaction. Of course, here when we say guest, we mean qualified, right? The actual definition of guest means a qualified practicing Brahmana. That's the actual full form of guest. Then anybody else is a partial form. You know what I'm saying? Like if you have a good friend, they're technically not a guest because they're going to use your same facility, they're going to eat when you eat, everything. There's no special consideration. Other than, okay, you know, instead of ordering Chinese tonight, you order pizza because he likes that better, right? So that's not going to change, right? You know, but the principle of that is whatever you would be doing is what's there. But if the guest is qualified, then the whole house stops to take care of them. So that's the fullest form. You know what I'm saying? And that's also limited, technically speaking, to one day. You're obliged for one day. If a grihastha extends that for three, giving that kind of facility, that's considered very pious. But the obligation is a guest shouldn't stay more than one day, and you're not obliged technically to take care of them for more than one day. You know what I'm saying? But if someone's staying for 2 weeks, then you'll drop down the level that you'll deal with, right? It has to be practical, you know, according to their position. Right, they're senior to you, a little better. If they're equal to you, if a little less, then you know you'll work it out. Yes.
What is the concept of maturity?
Atiti.
Atiti means without
unexpected.
Yeah, unexpected. But unexpected Brahman. Not unexpected mother-in-law. That's not that's not a guess. You might use a different beginning syllable farther down the alphabet. Does that make sense? Right. So the point is take, in other words, the principle of taking care of others. Because here, what was it? Suitable wife. Maintain religious principles, servants, nourishing them. So there's a common point here, is working for the benefit of others. So that's your own family. Okay, now that you can do. Okay, you're pious enough, you can appreciate that. So you work very well to see that the family is taken care of. You know, does that make sense? But now it's that you have to be able to extend that, you know, to people who aren't family. Right? Does that make sense? And especially those who are respectable, because then you're going to put out extra effort. Right? The relatives who are family may not put out so much extra effort. Does that make sense? It's a wedding, yes, but if it's not a wedding, not necessarily. You know, just standard, whatever you're doing, they're family, so they just fit into that. So of course it is some element of sacrifice, but it's not as much as taking care of a guest. That makes sense. So therefore, that's why it's the principal duty is to take care. And in fact, they should be going out of their way to have guests. You know, just like Prabhupada's father. Every day he would feed four sadhus. Like that. But because of the particular time, it's not that the sadhus around were necessarily very qualified. So therefore, Prabhupada wasn't impressed by the quality of the sadhus. But the point was, is that's his duty. He was making the effort. He had that much facility. He invites four. Someone else invites two. Someone else invites one. You know, but he had that facility, so he took care of that much. Does that make sense? So it's a very primary element. Otherwise, it's always about yourself. Yes?
The consideration that we have guests for more than a few months.
Guests for more than a few months, but the point is then they're treated like family. So they get the same...
Disturbs the service.
Disturbs the service.
Because there are more people, so facilities are not like previously kings and everything. So
well, we're not even talking... Yeah,
kings,
okay.
Kings, okay, whatever. You know, inner courtyard.
Yeah, our smaller than 3 kilometers by 3 kilometers, you know. So, okay. 3 meters by 3 meters, okay. You know, it's like a... No, but the point is that if you're going to have guests for 2 months or 3 months, that means who's benefiting, you or them?
Hard to say.
No. But why are they there in the first place? You want them there, or they need a place and you're offering it? Okay, so that means they're benefiting. So then if they're going to be treated like family, they have to be like family and do something. In other words, if there's more of them, that means there's more to do. That means they're washing dishes, washing clothes, cleaning the house, doing all that kind of stuff. Because they're living there in your place, so they're like family. Family does this. Right? As we said, you're obliged to treat them like kings for 1 day. And if you can extend that to 3 days, that's considered good. But after 3 days, there's no treatment like kings. You know, but that should be worked out before they come. You know? Like that. Or if they come this time, if there's the possibility of them coming again, make it very clear before they come next time. Otherwise, you're not willing. Because you're not obliged. You know what I'm saying? Why are you obliged?
Relationships.
Okay, but the point is relationship means what? They just get benefit out of you, they don't return anything? That's not friends.
It makes. Mixed.
Point is you're supposed to work out so it's not as mixed.
Especially the moods.
Huh?
Like, you know, especially the moods, because you get accustomed to your family members, you can deal with them.
That's another thing. That's another thing. That then is always beneficial to learn. You know, but at the same time is then there's always the consideration it's called another room in the house. You know what I'm saying? Like when the Pandavas stayed with those Brahmins, they had their own room. So if you have a separate room, then they can be in there, and then, because the main point is not that they can be in their room, you can go into your room. You know? So if it's too much, you can go in your room, close the door. Hari Bal. You know what I'm saying? Point is if they're going to be, they have to be able to understand and appreciate and work it out. Otherwise, if you can't, then it's difficult. You know?
So it should not be serving as the principal duty of grihastha.
Serving is the principal guest of the grihastha, but the point is it says serving guests, but are they guests? You know what I'm saying? If they're inconsiderate of your home situation and take advantage, they're not guests. Like that. It means, for lack of a technical word, you know, in American we call them freeloaders. You know what I'm saying? It means if they're actual guests, they would be able to add something. Even if it's they don't do any work, but they add something in that their mood is nice, they're, you know, you're doing something for them, so they appreciate it. Even if it's just that, you know, because they may be senior or some way, or, you know, like that. They're busy all day, so they only see you now and again. But the point is there's some reciprocation. If there's no reciprocation, they're not qualified as guests, so you have no obligation. That's what I'm saying. If it's there this time, that doesn't work. Then if it comes, the idea comes up next time, you have to discuss those things. That no, we won't be able to because of these problems. And then if they're willing to work that out, okay, then you give it a try. If it still doesn't work out, then you know that it's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? So you have to apply these things. The point is that taking care of guests, but that means is that everything stops to take care of them, but then they also reciprocate like that. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you invite someone over to your house, maybe it's only once, you invite them for a lunch, but they come in like they own the place and deal with it however they like and all that. You're not obliged to invite them back because they don't follow the rules of being a guest. Right? They may be senior, they may be respected, they may even be worshipped, but they don't claim ownership and that they can do whatever they want with your facility. It's your facility. And you're engaging your facility in their service. Like that. But at your discretion, not theirs. You know what I'm saying? That's a guest. Does that make sense? Like that. That's why it's said that the most painful thing is to be a guest in someone else's house. Right? Because you have to be very considerate of everything and all that, and always have to, well, in your own house, you can relax. But if you're in someone else's house, you always have to be very, very careful. So it's, therefore, it's painful that you do everything very nicely all the time. You know what I'm saying? So the same, yeah. So in other words, there's an obligation for the guest also to be a good guest. Just as you're supposed to be a good host, they're supposed to be a good guest. Of course, even if they're not a good guest, you're a good host. But the point is it doesn't mean you need to host them again once they've proven themselves that as not a good guest. You know what I'm saying? It means if they're here now and they're dealing, you deal with them nicely. Does that make sense? But once they go, it's not that you're obliged to, that they give them the opportunity again. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it always, all these, when we say is there's obligations, there's response, and there's rights. So the point is everybody wants their own rights and everybody else's obligations. No, if everybody knows their own rights and obligations, and therefore knows everyone else's rights and obligations, then you don't, you can expect their obligations, but you don't get in the way of their rights. You know what I'm saying? You're a guest. It is their house. So therefore, how they want the house used, that's how you live. You know? They give you some space. You got a table to put your stuff on. You put your stuff on the table how you like. You know what I'm saying? But you don't deal with the rest of the house or their, or that table how you like. You know? Does that make sense? Yes.
Prabhupada often says that usually we have this three times before you cook, you come and you go, who's hungry? Three times before you start eating. What is the practical applications.
Means do you go out and just say it loudly, or do you say it quietly, or do you use a bullhorn, or do you put it out on Facebook first, or you know, how do you?
Facebook.
Okay. Just be careful about the region. You know, pick some region on the other side of the planet, like that. And ideally, if it's 12 hours difference, then you know it's nighttime anyway, so they're not going to be. So by the time they wake up and figure out there was something to eat, you've already eaten. Yeah.
But you said it. But you said it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Now the point is that anybody is within your jurisdiction, you're seeing that they're taken care of. Does that make sense? So in other words, the grihastha wouldn't tell their children to now go tell their friends to go home because it's time for dinner. The grihastha wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? You know, stuff like that. Somebody's there. You know, it's just, you know, if you know somebody doesn't have anything and you have facility, you would see that maybe they get something. But as long as they also appreciate it, if they take it for granted or like that, you're not obliged. You know what I'm saying?
Even if they feel
Yeah, and then you don't have to. And then when they say, why not, like that, it says, hey, you know, you didn't just, you know, so, you know, so, like that. It says, I tried to be nice. You know, but then, it's just the point is there, the Vedic culture is, it means, the modern culture prides itself on being straightforward, but it's not actually, it's blunt. The Vedic is straightforward. It's that, you know, we've done this for you, you didn't receive. So the point is they said, no, but you're supposed to do it without, you know, any desire for results. It says, yes, that's my duty, but that's none of your business to tell me. You're not my teacher in this. You're the recipient of this charity. It's not your business to teach me how to do this, unless you're high-quality Brahmin. You know, but the point is that the situation? You know, like that. So the point is it's not their business to tell you. Because what is the reason they're telling you that? Because of religious principles? No, it's niti. They just want, they know that you're, in other words, you're giving in charity because of a sense of, you know, a finer sense. So they want to get their work done. So they don't have a finer sense. So, but they know, but if they play on your finer sense, they can get their work done. That's all. So never be bewildered when somebody is using dharma or devotion for niti. You're not obliged to follow it at all. It may be correct, but the situation's wrong. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, how do you say, you know, going back to that Sunday that we... it's the right time. Okay. When Arjuna came back from Dwarka and he was looking very distressed, right? So then Yudhishthira goes to a whole list of reasons he might be distressed. One of them is, did you spend time with an unqualified woman? Right? Because if, you know, the rule is the kshatriya is approached by a woman for shelter, then he's obliged. Right? But if he's just obliged, why would Yudhishthira say that? Because he's only obliged if the woman's qualified. Does that make sense? He's not obliged if a woman's not qualified. Does
that make sense? What does that mean, qualified?
Yeah. Qualified means that she knows the right culture and that, and how to deal and reciprocate, you know, with the kshatriya on that platform. Yeah, I mean, she's not a prostitute. Don't worry, we're just having fun. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, how you say, those from the gutter harassing others from the gutter.
Yeah, this guy's from the gutter.
It's like that. Okay. I think it'll take two. So that's basically it. In other words, taking means the idea that you have something and you share it with others. That's the main principle. Because the idea is if you can share it with your family, right? Now extend it to guests. Then what's the next thing you can do? Yeah, then you can share things with Krishna and the preaching mission and, you know, the community of devotees and like that. So it's just the natural steps. Because the one you'll do because you're attached. Right, the next you do because it's, you know, proper. The next you do because it's spiritual. You know what I'm saying? So that's the idea, is that slowly, slowly, it's the same principle, just expanding that. You know, until everything's Krishna's. Right?
So that saying of charity begins at home?
Charity begins at home, yeah. Yeah, charity begins at home. Because that also means is you're not giving charity according to Manu, you're not giving charity outside when your family's suffering. Yeah. It's not that, you know what I'm saying? In other words, it means you have less money and you're giving a little money in charity, you know, then you live with whatever. That's proper, even if you have less. But where you're giving more outside for prestige and all that and your family doesn't have, that's wrong. That's not pious. Like that. But also, another thing that you could throw into this is that when the deity is in your house, he's treated as a guest. So therefore, you know, all the cooking, all the special things in the house are for the guests. So that also here can be serving guests, I mean, could also mean deity worship is a principal duty of the Vrindavan.
Not that one day.
Yeah, and he can stay more than one day. Like that. So the point is you can have longer, but it means that, let's say, the person comes, their senior person, so for one day, 2 days, 3 days, everything stops. You don't go to work, kids don't go to school, these things, you can do that and take care and do it. But after that, it has to go back to normal. You have to go to your work, everybody has their duties. So then, when you're at the house, when you have the time, then you give them that special treatment. Right? But it's not beyond your time and budget allows. But it's not that you're lazy. What it means is that for one day everything stops. That's what it means. You know, not that when they walk in you say, you know, and you're eating, yeah, hi, hey, hey, hungry, it's in the fridge, right? Like that going. We're not talking that. Okay. Or is that too close to the bone there?
A little too close.
I had that one happen to me, so sorry. No,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainata Gaura Premanandi.